Sandy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
What up?
Dan.
What up, boy?
If we were to successfully pull off this opening, like we did not do on our last episode.
No, we got a little. We both got a little bit of colds.
We got a little bit loopy.
We got a little bit under the weather situation with Chicago's up and down weather.
Frustrating, putting our
systems into a completely fucked up state. But had we have done it perfectly,
had we have nailed it,
it would have gone something like this.
Yes,
I know a lot.
Wait,
about
what?
It. I was trying to prepare for the scene. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do.
Okay. All right. Yellow leather. I gotcha.
Do a zip, zap, zap.
Yep.
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And there we go.
And neither of us know anything about vocal warm-ups either.
You know what else I don't know about? I got completely caught up with doing getting today's episode ready, so I actually forgot again to make the sound drop for our
God
new...
God damn it, Dan.
But on the next episode, we'll get to it. I apologize.
Also, seriously... We made it through one round of the bracket.
I gave up on that already.
You were just hoping I would never bring it up?
I emotionally checked out.
Okay.
And it's time for me to declare a winner. And it's jalapeno and garlic pizza.
Okay.
That is a deep reference to back when I used to podcast in Missouri.
All right. Yeah.
Maybe one
person listening to this
will get that.
No.
All right, fine. I'll name the winner is Act Liberal.
I'm cool.
All right. Bah! All right.
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know.
Let's just let it go.
All right.
I wish I had never brought it up.
Clearly,
you feel a lot of guilt over this.
I do too wish that you had
you
not
do
brought
too
it up. I do too wish also that I didn't have
there you go.
The episode.
Here it goes.
Today's episode.
Come on now.
We have to get to it. But before we do, I'd like to give a shout out to a new donor, a new policy wonk. This is someone who's been around since way back, and we're thrilled to have her on board as a policy wonk. Thank you so much, Susanna.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Susanna, welcome aboard.
We really appreciate it.
We do appreciate it.
And if you would like to become a policy wonk yourself, you can
do
so by going to knowledgefight.com, clicking the support the show button. We would appreciate it. Everything is appreciated. I could use that word more if you'd like. All right. Something I don't appreciate, Jordan, is first of all, your attitude. Second of all,
I'm sorry. That was one time where leaving you hanging was the best option.
Probably. Yeah. Another thing I don't appreciate is that we're not doing a Project Camelot episode today.
Oh.
People in our Facebook group, go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
Yes.
They sounded off that we aren't talking enough about modern day Alex Jones.
All right.
And so, I don't want to say punishment.
Cave?
What?
You were caving?
Yeah, oh, totally.
Okay.
Absolutely. I
All
folded
right.
like a
All
taco.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, I it's not a punishment to the people who demanded this.
Right. And also enjoy it.
It's more a,
punishment to you.
Yes, certainly it was.
Yeah.
But it's more of, I think the, it's a, beware what you wish for. Careful
All
what
right.
you wish for.
All right.
Because we're going over the, May 14th, 2018 episode.
Right.
Which, if you're keeping track, is the day after over 50 people were gunned down. In Israel.
I didn't hear that in the news.
Which makes for an interesting episode of the Alex Jones Show.
You know what I read a lot in the news today? 50 dead in
right.
protests.
Right. A lot of,
I heard
a lot of mysterious deaths.
Yeah. Protests turn violent as opposed to, military murders unarmed people.
Mm-hmm.
Could be one other way of putting it.
Yeah. So before we get to today's show, which is going to be largely not all that fun, I have two pretty fun out-of-context drops.
All right.
We're about to turn your lights on, baby.
I like that so much. We're about to turn your lights on, baby! Like, that's something that Alex should say if he's, like, starting a rock concert.
Oh, okay.
Not in the middle of a rant about North Korea.
He's gonna need to copyright that, like Buffer did with, Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
And so here's the-
He's leaving licensing money on the table.
Here's the other out of context drop, which unfortunately will give you an indication that today's episode will also feature, as if Alex talking about Israel was not bad enough, it also involves an hour of goddamn Milo Yiannopoulos.
God damn it.
You like that?
Yes, Dad.
I like
oh!
that.
Ooh. Yes. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got a nice, nice dynamic.
A lot of weird things just showed up there.
Yeah.
A lot of implications that I don't
like that.
I don't want to think about that at all.
Yes, Dad.
Yeah. No. So, see again. I wish you hadn't said it.
So, we're going to jump in here and we'll get to Alex starting off the show. But again, it's important that we remember that we're also concurrently doing an investigation into 2009. And one of the things that we learned is that in 2009, Alex was full-throatedly supportive of the Palestinians.
Yes.
He was against the violence and atrocities that were being perpetrated by Israel upon the Palestinian population.
You would think most people would be.
Yeah.
You would think it's a fairly obvious position not to shoot unarmed people and wound roughly, what, thousands?
Yeah,
thousands of people. Thousands of people were wounded sniper fire.
Right.
That's probably bad.
Yeah, and we'll get into a lot of that stuff and like some of the problems with Alex's rhetoric as we go along, but let's let the
It's just nice to know that actually the Nazis did win World War II. Hmm. They just played a long game where they stopped with the whole Germany thing. They were like, "Bah," and then they infiltrated both the United States and Israel. Very ironic. Perhaps the best way to fully destroy the Jews is tricking them into starting a war with the rest of the Middle East.
Well, there's that, that guy on Project Camelot even was saying, that Simon Parks gentleman was saying, gentleman strong.
Gentleman is very, very kind.
Putting it very strongly. He even said, Germany lost World War II, the Nazis didn't.
And that's really hard to argue with now, right?
Mm.
The South lost the Civil War, but the Confederates seem to have won.
Yo, baby. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to this first clip.
All right.
Just in advance, try to yell as little as possible, because you're going to be so mad.
All right.
I got issues with Israel.
Good start. Good start. Good start.
We are you and me both, buddy. You and me both.
Strong.
That's a good opening. I assume it can only go up from here.
But Israel's a diverse political system.
No.
Israel is not expanding and telling me I can't have a church on my street. Israel is not telling me that my children have to submit to Allah. Israel is not spreading like a virus.
Oh.
You're almost.
And George Soros, my enemy, the
there
guy trying to destroy me, trying to overthrow this country, the Nazi collaborator.
Oh, boy.
No matter how many newspapers and publications he pays to call himself a Holocaust survivor, he went on 60 Minutes and he wrote a book.
Didn't
and so
he
did
still
his dad,
survive it?
Bragging how they helped round up thousands of Jews.
Not true.
It was the best time of their life.
Nope.
And they do it
all
over again.
Even if he was a Nazi, he survived.
Do I have to play 60 Minutes for you again?
Please.
He's after me. And they basically told me in the lawsuits and in the news, stop doing this. I will never stop.
You're lying.
Well, that's Alex reading into
stop doing this. It's wrong.
But that's like him saying, like, what he's expressing is that, like, in the lawsuits against him, they also say, Alex, routinely lies and defames people, such as George Soros.
Yeah.
He says that he's a Nazi collaborator
based on
misrepresenting.
Let's get the list going.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and so
he
reads that in the lawsuit as it's like background information.
Right.
And he's like, oh shit, that's Soros talking to me through the lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it's really
he's
all about.
He's trying to give me a warning.
That's what it's really all about.
Alex is living.
I might win this one, but I have to know that the powerful backing is there.
He's living in a spy movie that's only in his head. Anyway, let's finish this clip up before we go into it.
You may be able to intimidate and push other people around, buddy. You're not pushing me around.
Nope.
I mean, that's technically true.
I just kept that last so in there just to illustrate how long of a pause there is there.
Going to be a lot of pauses as he tries to navigate the worst possible way to talk about Israel.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm pretty sure. And it's so close to him actually. Like, he's like, Israel isn't expanding into my home. And you're like, now, if they were, though, how would you feel?
Not great.
Right?
Probably.
Now, imagine you were in a situation where Israel was expanding into your home.
Bet you wouldn't feel great.
You wouldn't feel great.
Probably have a different take on this.
Might be against that, right? But, so imagine yourself in the position of somebody who was. And let's say perhaps the people who were actually existed. And they were just murdered by the government.
See, now this is,
wouldn't you then be on this? You literally just elucidated why you should be on the side of the Palestinians.
This thought experiment that you're proposing is flawed because it requires a modicum of empathy.
That's
and that's
true.
Something that is not on
I
the
don't
table.
Even, I don't even think it requires empathy.
Yes,
I think
it does,
just
to
needs
to imagine someone else's situation.
Well,
yes, it does.
Not, no, it's just to apply the situation you described.
Fine, it requires abstract thought.
It requires abstract thought. That's what it really does.
That's probably a problem.
That's why it's never going to happen.
Turns out colloidal iodine causes concrete thinking. Side effect. It was
right.
Unexpected.
Right.
So, Alex, I mean, this is going to be pretty much the going theme throughout all of this. It's
right.
Like, I have a problem with Israel, but I'm just going to talk about hating Muslims.
Right. Well.
And so.
I mean, hey, Israel shouldn't, but Islam?
So here,
you ever see those guys?
So here's the issue. Alex believes that there's nefarious powers at play in the world right now.
Of course.
And he has to support,
I mean, he's not wrong.
He has to support Israel because the alternative is something real scary.
Ooh. All the bullying over the years, all the anti-Israel stuff,
oh,
all
the
of
bullying.
It is all part of a larger globalist UN Sorosian.
Sorosian.
That's a great word.
Program, and the Vatican is heavily involved, and they want the UN to come in.
Of course.
And take over that holy city.
We've always wanted that.
Talk about bringing in revelation. You know, maybe I just don't want revelation to come in that quick. I got a one-year-old daughter and three other children I love.
Good
maybe
call.
I just don't like seeing it fulfilled to have the Babylon whore and the false prophet in control of Jerusalem.
If I had
which false prophet is in control of Jerusalem?
If I had a damn dollar,
what false prophet is in control of Jerusalem right now?
If I had a dollar for every time Alex declared someone the whore of Babylon, the false prophet, the Antichrist,
we would make a solid living.
Yeah, he calls everybody the goddamn Antichrist, the false prophet. I mean, the Pope, Obama.
Yeah, but that one was right.
Cass Sunstein
made the list?
One of Obama's old advisors, who, by the way, really funny. I've been listening to 2009. We're never going to listen to clips of this, but one of Alex's big narratives is that Cass Sunstein wants animals to be able to sue you.
All right.
It's fun
I like
stuff.
That. I, you know what? I think I might as well, just because that would be the cutest court case.
A little duck.
You are legally allowed to confront your accuser.
Absolutely.
There you go.
You got a duck on the stand.
Yeah.
Quack, quack. So the Vatican and the UN want to take over Israel and Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Cool.
The Vatican and the UN?
Yeah, together in concert. Because we got globalist Pope in there.
Oh, that's true.
Coming
that's
soon
true.
To HBO.
With his Sorosian ideas.
His Sorosian agenda.
I would call this the Sorosic period.
I mean, this is just like, this is high levels of bullshit that like.
Is it high?
Well, it's high.
I feel like it's low levels of bullshit.
It's high levels of bullshit in the sense of like, you need to prove anything you're saying. And you're not.
No.
You know, it's just, it's stacks upon stacks of bullshit, and it's just, I don't know. Anyway.
Pretty much any time any professed Christian commentator talks about Israel, sooner or later you're going to get a slip in of the end times.
Right.
Like, that's really what everybody likes about Israel, is just like the, oh, we definitely have to have it, because the end times, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if we don't have Israel, the end times aren't going to happen.
Right.
Is that what they think?
I think that's part of their rapture cosmology.
Like, if we just got rid of Israel, they'd be like, shit, the Bible isn't real.
Or if you get rid of Israel, that means that we're already in it or something like that. I don't know. I don't know enough about rapture shit because it's always
it's not
just been
hard.
Like, hard pass on this.
Hard pass.
I don't care to know.
Right.
Like, once I hear, like, Alex and a caller arguing pre- and post-trib rapture.
That was fun, though.
But once
I enjoy a good trib rapture debate.
But once I hear that, I'm like, I don't need to know anything about either side of this.
No, that's true. That's true.
So, anyway.
Fairly certain the rapture is never mentioned either.
No. Here is some interesting Islam bashing, along with some boostering for Christianity.
All right.
And Alex does something very interesting.
Judaism? Not involved.
Certainly. It doesn't seem to be. Well, they're lumped in with Christianity somehow.
See, I feel like that's not good.
Yeah. So, but Alex does one thing that's really interesting when he starts talking about Christianity, and I think that.
He jerks off?
Yep.
There are different maps of it that universities have put out, but if you
maps
type in the spread of Islam worldwide like maps, you'll get a lot of different variants and versions, and you'll see that Islam is expanding. Islam is not contracting. Christianity is contracting. Capitalism is contracting. Prosperity is contracting.
Remember during Barack Obama's inauguration speech breakdown when he was talking about how he brought up we're at war and then he brought up economic troubles?
Yeah.
And Alex said what he's doing is trying to anchor those two ideas in your mind. He's trying to vector them together.
Yeah.
Alex just vectored Christianity, capitalism, and prosperity all together.
I didn't
hoping
notice.
That his audience would... See, I'm
he's too good at it.
I'm only doing this to
listen,
be petty.
Listen, Obama can't hold a candle to Alex Jones when it comes to vectoring.
But I'm only doing this to be petty because it's a rhetorical technique that he called out in someone else and like, hey, I'm going to bring it up.
Is fantastic.
I'm going to bring it up every time you do it now. Which I would say that the only thing that capitalism and Christianity have in common throughout their history has been exploitation of minorities, indigenous populations,
right?
The people they profess to help.
Yeah,
all
can
those
you
sorts
imagine
of
a religion wanting to expand as far across the globe as it possibly could?
Those damn
it's
Muslims.
Almost like they're sending groups of people to other lands that aren't theirs and are is spreading this faith. This
would
horrible
never do that.
Faith.
Whites
no,
would never.
No, the West?
No.
Always been Christian.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And most of
that's
Africa,
one thing
too.
People
most of
don't,
Africa, too.
That's one thing people don't know about the First Nations.
Right.
Loved the Jesus.
So much.
Oh, he's so good.
And when Islam takes over your country, it doesn't
which one?
Let you continue to be free.
Ooh. Define free.
All it does is expand. There are countries that are currently Islamic, and there are countries that are currently not Islamic.
Good work.
There is the House of Islam. There is the House of War.
And the House of Windsor.
Real quick, that's the Saxe Gotha. Saxe Coburg Gotha. I want to pause there for a second really quick because all Alex is doing is taking this from a guy that he talked to during the inauguration of Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
He was out on the street and he was talking to a guy and this guy screamed about the House of Islam and the House of War. Everything outside of the House of Islam is the House of War.
Okay.
And that is how Islam views the world. That
yeah, but that's not how
war.
That's not how houses work.
Well,
like, they would be separate houses, and there would be space in between them.
Alex hasn't looked...
You could only have the House of Islam and then everything else.
And what about the House of Buggin? That sitcom
that,
now
that's
the
90s. That's a good one.
Yeah. LL Cool J was on it, I think.
What about the house in the middle of our street?
Our house?
Our house!
So the issue is that Alex just took this from this guy that he talked to during the inauguration and didn't look into the concept at all.
Right.
There is the Dar al-Islam and the Dar al-Harb. Which are the two distinctions within, like, countries that are ruled in Muslim tenets and that sort of thing, and those without. And you could say that the Dar al-Harb is the House of War. That's a fair translation to some extent, but it's not a literal translation from the Arabic. And also, Dar al-Islam doesn't mean the House of Islam necessarily. It mostly means the House of Peace, because when you take the word Islam, when you look at it in the Arabic,
right,
what it comes from is certain consonants that come together, like salam, like salam alaikum, peace be upon you.
Yeah, yeah.
The Islam generally is accepted to be translated as to enter into a state of peace,
right,
which we poorly translate to mean surrender or submission.
Yeah.
And that's not a good translation. It's those who have entered into a state of peace. So if you look at the Dar al-Islam and the Dar al-Harb, you have the house of those who have entered into peace and those who have in a state of non-peace,
right,
which we've translated as war. Also,
all of the things that you just said in a different language, all I heard was the sound of dirty monsters out. Fucking, come on, man.
It also doesn't take into account that there's...
Salam alaikum, speak American,
there's
sir.
There's also...
say Gesundheit.
Bless you. There's also the Dar al-Hudna, which is the House of Calm, which is a state, like
the Little Book of Calm.
Yeah, it's like when they've had a truce between two countries, that country would be said to be in a Dar al-Hudna, which
right.
There's calm between us,
which is like, hey, you're cool.
Yeah, and there's other distinctions that are made. If you,
I like the way that
it.
Religions always dress up the most banal of things. The House of Calm, but you're like. We're just cool with those guys.
Right, but Alex...
Like, they seem all right.
Alex...
Like, you could just call it the... They're all right.
But again, it's just Alex taking something from somebody he was talking to on the street because it fit into his worldview of Muslims want to kill everybody who's not them. And he has incorporated it into his rhetoric and his
right.
narrative. And that's really fucking stupid and very bad. And I'm going to say this over and over again. You are a fucking bigot, Alex.
Yeah.
You are behaving like a bigot.
It's also interesting in so far as it reveals how terrible his stories really are in terms of lies, is because something really happens, like I met a guy on the street who said this, and I realized instantly that this was something that is so important.
I legit have the clip of him learning about
exactly,
this.
Exactly. But he does not tell a story about that. That just gets assimilated.
Right.
Whereas everything that he tells a story about is bullshit.
Which, by the way, we're gonna at the exact end of this episode,
gonna get a good story?
We're going to find instance in real time of him just completely making up a lie.
Okay.
It's fascinating.
All right.
But let's finish this clip.
Islam is already in control of most European countries because they're parliamentary with more than 10 parties per country.
What?
Not all
you
of
get
them.
10-15% that vote in a block? You have checkmate control.
I know, it's almost
already.
Like 35% of white people have a lot of fucking power.
Understand that, ladies and gentlemen.
I do. Not all countries in Europe have parliamentary governments. That's it's not all of them. It certainly, generally, weirdly, isn't the ones that he talks about all the time. But be that as it may, even if you have a parliamentary government and you have 10 parties...
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they all get 10% of the coalition or whatever. Like,
no, that sounds right.
You have 10 people.
Those Europeans are all communists as well, right?
You have 8 groups that combine to 2% of the vote or whatever, and then 2 parties.
You only
that
need
are mostly
one group,
in control.
And that's Doctor Group.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, that's all kind. That's all some hot bullshit. But
yeah, like if you look at the elections that are currently happening in Iraq. It is the guy who's winning is a fierce Iraqi nationalist who like they're so the
wants to make Iraq great
the way
again.
The way no and in fact it's weirdly a strange mixture of what's going on. Like the more you look into it, the more fascinating it becomes, because what everybody kind of predicted was the pro Iran guy to get in there. Or, no, I think it was the pro-America guy or whatever. And he is not doing well. The pro-Iran guy, not doing well. The pro-Iraq guy, who doesn't trust America or Iran, he's doing great.
Doing well in Iraq?
He's doing great.
Shocking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shocking.
But also, their government, so the way that it's set up, he's got like 30% of the vote. Mm-hmm. And then they have to figure out how to deal with everybody else, like a parliamentary democracy works.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the same thing that happens when you get a labor and liberal Democrat coalition going on. It's
sure.
the same bullshit.
Yeah,
nobody agrees on anything.
But that's no different than any other system.
Yeah,
no
it's
agrees.
Pretty much the same thing.
So we had to jump because we had a lot of clips to get through.
Okay,
and this next clip. So last night, as we were recording this. Our time. Last night, our time.
Our time.
These snipers, the Israeli snipers, shot and killed.
Right.
It's over 50 at
right.
this point.
Well, they were defending
death
themselves.
Toll's rising.
They were defending themselves from unarmed people.
Absolutely. But
behind
also,
a cage.
But also, there's a lot of footage that has come out of tear gas being dropped from, like, drones and stuff like that.
That's great.
Wonderful.
And
just tear gas being shot out into the seas of people.
Any t-shirt guns?
Yeah, there's a t-shirt cannon.
There's a t-shirt cannon?
It's interesting because Alex, actually, he takes issue with that, but not for the reason you'd think.
Of course not.
Trump is a leader. And
nope.
Netanyahu said that, and it's absolutely true.
That's not true.
Trump
good.
Is a leader. This is called leadership, folks.
I thought Trump was sticking ISIS up his dirty asshole. What happened
well,
to that?
Well, yeah. Well, he's leading the charge of pegging.
All right.
folks. This is called not doing the same thing, beating your head up against a wall for 50 years in a failed peace deal, while the Palestinians sit across the fence having six kids on average.
Why do you care about that?
And the Arab country will take them because they use them, that big lake of humanity, as a weapon system. Incredible footage I saw today of Israel dropping tear gas on people from drones. Can we roll that? It was on CNN.
What do you think his problem with it is? Because he does have a problem with this.
Amazon didn't have a stake in it?
No, he would hate that because he hates Bezos.
All right.
Think, boy.
All right, Mr. Peabody, what the hell just happened here? He is mad because they just dropped it and didn't fire it directly at another human being whom he once injured miserably.
No, you're not thinking like as Jeeves would tell Bertie Wooster. Uh-huh. You're not thinking with the psychology of the individual.
All right.
You got to think about how fucking petty and self-involved Alex is.
All right.
And I remember seeing that. And
oh, was it his idea?
I just remember being criticized 10 years ago.
No.
Saying, oh, look, this company's selling drones to drop tear gas and fire weapons, including hand grenades. And the media attacked me and said, Jones is insane. There's no plan to use drones to surveil rural property. There's no plans to put weapons on them or tear gas. And I remember it was in over 1,000 newspapers. It was the first time I was really hit with a full disinformation piece. And all I was doing was reading out of regional newspapers. But they didn't want to have a national debate about that. It's just so funny. It's like Jade Helm.
So at that point, he jumps.
Oh, boy. Let's recall Jade.
At that point, he jumps into like a really defensive posture about these articles that have come out that have shown that Russian bots and Russian troll accounts were promoting Jade Helm conspiracies.
Yeah.
And Alex gets really fucking defensive about that.
Of course.
But I don't want to talk about that because I don't give a shit.
I'm more interested in how really, really well he identifies with the Palestinian plight and somehow is against Palestinians.
Well, I want to say really quick before that, I only kept that part in at the end to demonstrate that he does not say it's wrong.
That's true.
They tear gassed this crowd
that's
of people.
That's true. That's true.
He's not at all saying that, like, this is fucked up. He's saying, hey, isn't it crazy that I said they were going to do that 10 years ago and they made fun of me? But
he said it was bad at the time.
Back then.
Yeah.
He also said he supported Palestine back then.
That's true.
So what are you going to do?
That's true.
What are you going to do?
Nothing means anything.
No.
God damn it.
So he has a marked lack of humanity about himself in the aftermath of this event.
Seems to be a common thing.
So this is a mic down clip because I forgot what this is about. It's just marked Alex seriously hates Muslims and Palestinians.
That's not good.
So let's enjoy him saying some shitty stuff.
On the Israel situation, the globalists are allied with Islam. They're trying to bring down the West. They're opening up our borders. They're using the Islamic threat to take our rights, and it's wrong. That does not mean that the Israel lobby doesn't get out of hand and I have a problem with it. Just like the communist Chinese are the main influencer in our government. I don't like it. But I'm not an enemy of Israel. And Trump understands that a choice has to be made. And he's got to move the embassy and not be a coward to Jerusalem like you do in any other country. And then he's got to stand up and be firm with the baby Palestinians who are suicide bombing their kids today all over the world. It's a whole bunch of suicide bombings all over the world. People blowing their little kids up. That's sick. That's satanic. That's child sacrifice. It's disgusting.
So real quick, we'll get to the rest of this clip, but I want to address that really fast.
He's conflating the other story of the day with Palestinians.
Well, if you look up the suicide bombings, there was one today. There was in Indonesia.
Yeah, that's the one where they were using children as suicide bombers. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And that is not related to this at all.
No, they're Indonesian Palestinians.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Haven't you seen those?
That's right.
They're everywhere.
You see, like, but that's his problem with, like, the same mentality that leads him to this stupid idea that the globalists are all one big group that are against him and, like,
Islam is all one big group.
Exactly. Yeah. He has this, like, sort of unifocused idea about his enemies, and it's just it's cockamamie. It's stupid. Yeah. Like, I think that we you know what, here's something that I hit me recently, and I don't know if this is connected or not, but I want to say it. there's something that is profoundly unsatisfying about doing this show. Because
all right,
at the end of the day, what we're doing is kind of like, here's the way I describe it. Like, you know who gets laid at a party? The guy who's like, everything you know is wrong. Even if he's full of shit, that's really appealing and people are really turned on by that. Whereas the guy who's like, actually, most of the stuff you know is kind of accurate. You just got, there's more nuance than you think, but most of the broad strokes of stuff is pretty close to what you're told.
All right.
That's not
all right.
Fun.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, when was the last party you went to?
It's been a while.
Because the answer to that question is, neither of those guys, they're both creepy and weird.
But the guy...
Those guys are in the corner talking to each other, and everybody else is like, ugh.
But the guy who's like, okay, maybe I'm basing this off, like, when I was in college.
Yeah, there you go, there you go, there you go.
But even still...
Parties from 10 years
ago. Even still, the mentality of, like, I'm gonna open your eyes, is still more appealing and intriguing to people than, like, your eyes are open. Just read a little more. Just read a little more so you understand some of the pieces of this.
School marming is usually not the best way to attract a mate.
It's not great.
Not a lot of peacocks are like, I'm not going to make these feathers gorgeous. I'm going to write the 97 theses.
Right, but Alex Jones would be able to, like, gin up his base and get really everyone excited by saying that, like, all these Muslims across the world are suicide bombing and somehow conflating it with this Israel massacre.
Yeah.
For lack of
murder.
A better word.
Murder.
Conflating those two things is going to get him a lot of, like, you know, attention.
Yeah.
His base is going to love it. Whereas us saying, like, no, that's a completely different situation and that it has no correlation. It's bad. Yes, absolutely. We certainly aren't in favor of that.
Right.
But you're just making things up and vectoring them.
Haven't any of these guys seen Red Dawn?
Yeah, Alex has the coat from it.
Loves it, right?
He has the jacket.
It's the same thing that's going on now. They're doing the same. Everything that you think about America in Red Dawn, that's what's happening to Palestine right now.
There's got
to
be.
There's a delay. It's not even a, like, metaphorical. It's a direct one-to-one. It's not an allegory. It's an analogy. It's one-to-one.
See, but they don't have cool jackets. They don't have cool bomber jackets.
Instead of Palestinians, we should go with Wolverines?
Yes.
Now, has Palestine... Okay.
We need the Palestinians to get leather jackets, and then everything will be on... Alex will be on board.
As Alex said, a choice has to be made. And that choice is rename Palestine to Wolverine Land.
I think that there's one thing that could happen to get him on board with them
what?
At this point. Turn them white.
I don't think that would work.
It would help.
It probably wouldn't hurt.
Anyway, back to the clip.
Okay.
But Trump understands that now he can come out with a really good peace deal that actually has concessions by the Israelis they've never done. With this olive branch to Israel.
What?
Now he can come back to the Palestinians, and that's being announced. Just like North Korea, Trump really wants to try to fix these problems. But
yeah.
I don't think the Palestinians ever want to fix it because their whole identity... Is there women wearing hoods over their heads and cutting their little girls' genitals off and screaming Allah Akbar and putting plastic explosives around their children?
That's gross. That's really, really gross. That's profoundly disgusting in terms of painting an entire culture with a broad brush.
What I hear there is
really nothing else to say. Like, we shouldn't even respond to that, quite frankly. I'm at the point where, like, listening to modern day Alex Jones, it doesn't deserve a response. Like, that sort of rhetoric has no place in decent society.
Here is why that rhetoric is something that I immediately, like, latched onto. That is,
my eyebrows are raised. Sir.
If that is true.
Oh.
Then his viewpoint is 100% correct.
No, there's still problems.
No. I mean, insofar, look, if all of that shit is true,
right,
those people are the monsters you imagine them to be.
Right.
Right? So if you really dive into that worldview, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That is clearly stupid.
Yeah. This is where,
he clearly doesn't believe it. Because if you really believe that, then you would fucking do something.
He would have killed those two Muslim girls at the pool shop.
Of course, you wouldn't have any choice.
Yeah.
What is that but that same concept behind respecting people who think abortion is murder?
Right.
What is that? Look, if you believe that abortion is murdering a child, mm-hmm. of course your worldview makes sense. You should be doing way more than that. But you don't really believe that.
Well,
and the reality is, if you did believe that, you would fucking do something. You're not. So fucking stop pretending that you believe it.
Well, with this,
it's a stupid argument.
With this world that we dwell in so much, what it constantly comes back to is like, we could have a conversation probably about the conclusions that people come to, but people seem really reticent to debate or discuss the premises. And the premises are the parts that are profoundly flawed.
Yeah.
Because in order to make that argument that Alex Jones is making, he has to believe as one of his premises in his argument that all or most Muslims are just, their identity is putting their women in bags and cutting off their children's genitals and putting their bombs on their children.
Yeah, if that's true, they're a mortal enemy that must be stopped. And it's our moral imperative
right.
to stop them.
Right. But that premise is not something Alex would ever want to discuss because it's patently false.
And stupid.
It's absolutely.
And he doesn't believe it.
But who cares whether he believes it or not? It doesn't matter.
I don't know. There's a certain level of zealotry that I at the very least respect. Like I don't know. With so much of the bullshit that my dad believes, like he believes it.
Yeah.
Like weirdly and obsessively, and he doesn't waffle on it.
But the people that
bother me are the people who say they believe it, and then they're like, but I mean,
I think a lot of that comes back to unexamined premises again.
Right.
It comes back to, like, you've accepted this argument without looking at what it's built on. You don't know what is supporting the conclusion that you've come to, which is, in your example, abortion is murder is the conclusion.
Yeah.
You're not looking at why people make that argument and realizing, like, oh, there's problems there. Alex's argument, Muslims are evil, the premises that lead to that are not true. They don't have any bearing in reality.
Yeah.
And you just... Anyway, let's...
And even when they do, which, yes, this is an issue, and we're on board. Female genital mutilation is bad.
Right.
And I'm with you.
And guess what? There's a bunch of liberal organizations that work to
save
young women.
They try so fucking hard.
There's a bunch of
advocacy organizations. Do you know what they're not trying to do? End Islam.
But there's a bunch of advocacy organizations that are on the ground working, trying to help people, trying to change the way young women are brought up in foreign countries.
Absolutely.
And these sorts of things, trying to evolve populations.
It's almost
in
like
a respectful
they're doing
way.
Good.
Right. Alex isn't doing any of that shit.
Nope.
He's injecting poison into the national conversation.
Yeah.
And then pretending like, I'm a good one.
Slightly different.
Right. Now, I'm gonna play you a clip. This is Alex Jones talk. He's just been talking about how the Muslims are gonna take over and what have you. And
well, they are.
They've said they're gonna take over.
I heard it.
And then he says this.
You know what? When somebody says they're coming to conquer me, I hear them, I believe them, and I'm raising the alarm.
So this leads us to a new segment on the show.
I hear them, I believe them.
So Andy sounds the alarm. I'm gonna read you a quote. And
okay.
I'm going to ask you to guess who said this.
All right.
Quote, it is extremely important to introduce geopolitical disorder into the internal American activity, encouraging all kinds of separatism and ethnic, social, and racial conflicts, actively supporting all dissident movements, extremist, racist, and sectarian groups, thus destabilizing internal political processes in the United States.
That's our boy, the Russian dude who shows up on a show all the time.
It's Alexander Dugin.
That's Alexander Dugin. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, thank you.
He did not sound the alarm on that guy.
Plus one point for Jordan.
He did not sound the alarm. He's had him on the show multiple fucking times.
Well, you can't believe that guy.
That is from page 367 of his book, Foundations of Geopolitics.
He heard him, he believed him, and he was like, let's be cool.
Well, but I mean, like, look, he's literally saying we need to destabilize and completely cripple the United States so we can bring the Soviet Union back together.
Well, yeah, but that's the only way to stop the globalists.
Right. So anyway, that's just fun.
That's
my way of having fun.
Yeah.
It's a hypocrisy, but again, who gives a shit?
Who gives
2018.
A shit? 2018. Yeah.
So here's Alex Jones again making it abundantly clear that he supports Israel.
So again, it just comes down to that. I'm not with Soros.
Again.
I'm not with radical Islam. And you bet I support Israel. But by being a supporter of Israel, then I can have more influence on things I don't like Israel's doing. See how that works?
I don't see how that works. I do not see how that works. Alex has got a hotline to BB.
What does that mean?
So if I...
How does that work?
If I come on my radio show and I say, fuck these people who died, Israel was right to kill them.
Right.
Then I get a seat at the table where I can try and help things from within. What?
That makes perfect sense.
What?
It's the long con. It's the long game.
All right.
Have we considered that perhaps Alex is eventually going to lead the progressive revolution?
Yeah.
Do you think so? This probably. Is the long con. He's doing it from the inside.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's very gradually making the turn. I can see it. I can see the heel turn coming.
Unfortunately.
Or the face turn.
Unfortunately, so far the turn has been all the other direction.
It has been, but that's the best way to not project the future turn.
From flawed rationality.
Yeah.
That's generous.
That's way too generous.
But flawed.
From more abstract, hilarious lies.
Flawed humanity, I would say, probably, mm-hmm. in 2009 to outright, completely irredeemable, monstrous, ethnic, and cultural bigot, violence antagonistic fuck. Like, there is nothing. Like, I guess you could have a Jonah in the whale kind of moment where, right. like, but you would expect that to have been when he said that Trump shoved ISIS up his dirty asshole.
You would think so.
You would expect that to be the long, dark night where he's sitting there alone and being like, what have I become?
Right.
And no, it's not. He's
no.
He's worse now.
It's not. He is worse.
He's worse than he was a month ago.
He wrestled with it and came out the wrong side.
Yeah. It's like, he's like, I like it in the whale.
Yeah. This whale is pretty fucking dope. Have you ever been inside a whale before?
You know what? I wanted to get out, but it turns out the whale doesn't like Jews, too. So, hey, we're hanging out.
I am being digested. And let me tell you something. Feels good.
Probably the wrong.
Feels good.
Probably the wrong argument for me to make on this particular show.
When I am shat out of a whale, I am sure that I will feel much better.
Saying that this whale doesn't like Jews on this episode where he's so supportive of Israel seems foolish.
Yeah, but I feel but that's... okay. This is going to be a not as well researched opinion as I would like. But at this point, supporting Israel's government is maybe the most anti-Semitic thing you can do.
To some extent. And I think
nobody is working harder to destroy the Jewish state than the government of the Jewish state.
And giving like bad press.
Yeah.
But up till this point, Alex has not really dealt with what the actual news is coming out of Israel.
And so, murder.
Yeah. In this next clip, he reads the...
And not the whodunit kind, like Murder on the Orient Express.
No, this one's
more
clear.
Like the Valentine's Day Massacre kind.
So he actually reads the story in this next clip, and it just turns out to be a thing about Islam being bad.
Nah.
Israeli snipers kill scores of Palestinians and wound 2,400.
No way to take that! No other way to take that!
Well, but I'll tell you.
No other way to take that!
I'll tell you
this.
There's
no way to take that headline without being like, oh, the bad guy is the murderer!
At least he didn't say 50 dead. You know, he actually said Israel kills.
Yeah, he did! He did better than the fucking Washington Post!
Just saying.
35,000 protesters rally against the U.S. Embassy opening in Jerusalem. Overseen by Trump's Middle East envoy, Jared Kushner, and daughter Ivanka. And, you know, I'm glad the Daily Mail's covering that, and I'm glad that we're covering it, and I'm glad that Drudge Report has it. We're covering it. Just because I support Israel doesn't mean I support the image of drones firing tear gas at demonstrators or snipers shooting people. But, you see, the media
why is there a
covers
but?
It with the hourly suicide bombings. Or people getting stabbed to death or run over by trucks, they won't even ever say it's Islamic.
The only way you know about it is because
of
that.
So see, Egyptians say snipers kill scores of people and wound 2,400. Because if it was Islamists doing it, they would not say Muslims or Islamists.
Ooh. Fun semantic point that you're trying to make that you have no evidence to back up at all. Also, there aren't hourly suicide bombings or truck attacks or anything like that.
I'm legitimately trying to think of a terrorist attack since 9/11 that has killed more than 50 and wounded more than 2,000.
But you take the wounding out of it.
You take the wounding out of it. That's a different story. But yeah. All that really means is these terrorists just want to wound people.
How many
right?
people died in Vegas?
That was a lot. A couple hundred.
Yeah. So, was it a couple hundred?
Yeah.
No. Wound, maybe, but not kill.
No, I think a couple.
I don't think so.
I could be conflating it with all the other fucking mass shootings in the fucking... All right.
Everyone's confused why I'm not telling you I have neighbors, which is apparently is our catchphrase now, but it's because it's only 8:45. That I don't get really worried until after like 9:30 or so.
They're watching Rockets Golden State.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure it's a good game.
Yeah, they're yelling too.
Yeah. God damn it, Harden took another foul.
Yeah, so it was like, I'm getting from the chair, it was like 70-something in Las Vegas. So that's a higher death toll and all, but it doesn't matter. Mean anything.
I don't understand.
I'm just trying to tell you.
With any government.
Well, to be fair.
That murders 50 people and wounds 2,000 that are just people.
They're not people, though.
They're just people who are pissed off.
Alex doesn't think they're fucking people.
Now, and you know what? On the other side of it, I think it's a dumb idea, in a complete vacuum, it's a dumb idea to be mad that there's a U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. Mm. It's not even a real place. It's all just made up bullshit. Your religions are lies. If you want to get down to the fundamental underpinnings of all of this, I agree. All of this is fucking stupid. None of this shit means anything. Human beings are weird, fucked up creatures, and they're just creating reasons to hate each other, and they have been for fucking, 4,000 goddamn years now? Like, what else do we need on this shit?
I have
neighbors. But at the same time, if you're in Palestine, you just see the encroaching monsters constantly taking over, and the movement of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem is just a signal that the United States is going to watch everybody you know get murdered by Israel. That's what they're going to do. That the U.S. moving that embassy to Jerusalem is them saying specifically, we don't care how many die.
This has been the second segment on this show. The Jordan loses his shit ranting.
Shut up.
And I have no response. Let's go to our next clip.
I'm mad.
This is an interesting clip. I mean, it's not interesting in terms of content necessarily, because it's just Alex ranting more about Muslims.
Because that's what you're fucking saying. You're saying by moving, and don't get me wrong, this isn't Trump's fucking idea. This is the idea of moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem has been around since fucking Reagan.
Yeah.
Like all of these fucking white nationalist post-trib rapture motherfuckers
even
have
makes
always
that point.
To do it.
Alex even makes that point.
Yeah.
And I think even in the speech that he plays of Kushner's, he even makes the point, too, that, like, many presidents have said they're going to do it, but Trump...
Fucking Clinton did it.
Trump sticks by his word.
Clinton said he was going to do it.
Right.
But the reason they didn't do it is because they were like, oh, if we do this, that's the United States saying to everybody in Palestine, we will watch you die and not do a goddamn thing.
And that message resonates throughout much larger territory than Palestine.
Oh, do you mean the entire Muslim world?
It does absolutely send a horrible message.
Yeah.
Now
it's not good.
Someone else who sends a horrible message. Jesus.
You always make me feel bad.
Oh, okay.
You always make me feel like I'm ruining the show.
But you're not ruining the show.
You think I am.
No, I think the rants are good. I appreciate it, but I just don't know how to respond to it. Like I could have responded to 2 points earlier, but now I'm out.
Well, yeah, I do. I was moving quick.
Anyway, Alex here rants a little bit about Islam, but it's important to listen because what he says at the end, is particularly glaring, and I don't think he means it the way I think everyone's going to hear it.
Okay.
I know that the media always covers what Israel does under a big magnifying glass, and then when there'll probably be 20 or 30 bombings in Nigeria this week by Muslims.
Probably.
All one-sided killing Christians. Nothing in our news. There'll be bombings all over the Middle East, all over Central Asia, shootings, killings, little girls having their throats slit, lined up and shot, gays being thrown off buildings, priests being murdered, and not one word out of that demon pope who says, open the borders of Europe. There's almost no coverage of little girls getting raped. And if jihadists in Germany see you walking with your dog, they'll physically attack you, screaming, unclean, unclean. That's constantly in the back of the newspaper. So you see what I'm getting at now? How my brain works?
Yes.
How my brain works?
Poorly.
See, that's why I played that clip. You see how my brain works? Oh, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
See how your brain works.
Also, that's ridiculous. There was just a BBC article about three girls being raped and then lit on fire in India. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a thing that everybody, yeah, but we don't need to talk about it. Like so much of the violence that he talks about, it's dudes. It's just dudes. It's not a religion. It's a gender thing. Like, if you want to be a conformist gender concept guy, then what you have to admit is that dudes are the fucking issue.
Yeah, if you want to just be so reductive and look at the world the way Alex does, it seems like the more common through line is testosterone, dudes. Which yeah. Alex sells.
Yeah, great.
Great. So at this point, we're done with the Israel stuff for now, but we will get back to it. And I have some things I want to read to you that are, particularly
good night moon.
Yes. at this point, Alex Jones jumps off and he gets back to another narrative, that we've talked about in the past, but there's been a development. But what's more important about this is that we're now getting to the point where in 2018, Alex is just really trying to get attention really desperately. And you can hear it at the beginning of this clip when he's even trying to introduce the story he's about to talk about. He's really more concerned with the idea of, like, we need this to go viral.
Yeah.
And I saw it in my stack, so I'm going to cover it again right now. I just retweeted this at Real Alex Jones about 10 minutes ago. Asked Paul to retweet it. I really want to have this go viral because this illustrates everything.
It doesn't.
We even predicted last year when we saw this that this was going to end up happening. We
Not
tweeted.
Not hard to predict.
Los Angeles Times, October 6, 2017. Knowingly exposing others to HIV will no longer be a felony in California. It'll be a Class C misdemeanor or a ticket, $100 ticket. That means hepatitis, you name it. Just go ahead and kill somebody. You can even give blood, and then a lot of that gets through. Then kill a bunch of hemophiliacs. Somebody has a car wreck, needs a blood transfusion, you die a horrible HIV death. Isn't that sweet? Because we don't want to stigma all the virtue signaling. And I predicted that we would see STDs go up and they would spin it and say it was racism or something. And sure enough, last week, look at this headline. STDs in LA County are skyrocketing. Officials think racism and stigma may be to blame. Wow.
And he starts laughing. One of the things that I want to really bring into sharp focus is the reason that California made it not a felony anymore.
Yeah, I recall us talking about that.
But just as a refresher, the reason that they did that was because part of that law, it has to be, is that intent has to be there. And so if you don't know your status and you give it to somebody, then you can't be held accountable in a court of law because you didn't know your status. And people would probably be more scared to find out because then the test would be on record and it would prove that they did know that they had it or something like that. You know, and instances where, like, even if you use protection, a condom could tear or something like that.
There are
situations like that. And people had done studies and they figured out that the end result of criminalizing having HIV and passing it on to somebody is that people don't get tested.
Right.
And so in order to try and work against that, they decriminalized it.
It is one of those situations where the practical solution runs counter to your idea of punishment.
Mm.
Like, that's a fair, well, just like with, you know, like cocaine or whatever it is you want to do. The practical reality of, cocaine trafficking is that because it's illegal, it's far more profitable to be a murderous cartel.
Right, right.
Like, that's the kind of situation there. So the practical solution is legalizing this drug that you have been trained since you were a 3-year-old to think is the most heinous crime you can commit.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't jive with people's natural sense of, or like instinctive sense of punishment should equal the crime.
Right, right.
So that's why, like, and I can kind of understand that, because if you recall when we talked about it, my first reaction was like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it should be a crime to, give somebody HIV.
Yeah.
It should be a crime.
Well, knowingly and maliciously.
Then you start thinking, well, if you don't know, but it's the same crime.
Right. It's the same action.
Then that seems counterintuitive to your sense of justice
And if you know that you can't be held responsible for the crime, if you don't know, what's the right word? That incentivizes not knowing.
Exactly. Which only leads to the spread of more HIV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a further point is, Alex didn't read this new LA Times article, because these are completely different stories. I'll just read to you here from this article. Just fucking evidence that he has no idea what this story is actually about. Quote, in LA County, half of chlamydia cases and a third of gonorrhea cases diagnosed each year are among the people between the ages of 15 and 24. Now, for my point.
Because of me.
To my point, these are not people who are getting blood transfusions on a mass scale, so that idea of being able to donate blood is kind of out the window.
Nope.
What this is a failure of public education about health. Quote.
Abstinence only works.
Quote. One boy said he hadn't known that he could get STDs from anal sex. So that's not good.
Yeah, but that's just true.
So also this, if you read the whole article, it goes,
how'd you get it? It's at the butt.
The article.
That's where Islam's ass is or whatever.
Ah, boy. That's where ISIS is.
Yeah.
If you go on to read the entire article, it makes very clear that this is not a specific and unique experience for California. Quote, nationwide STD rates have been climbing for the past 5 years. More people were diagnosed with syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea in 2016 than ever before. Some blame underfunding of STD prevention programs as well as falling condom usage. There's also speculation that people are having sex with more partners because of hookup apps. And the reason that they bring up race in this article as a possible contributor is statistics. Quote,
those are dangerous.
The picture is more complicated when it comes to the high STD rates among minorities. Gay and bisexual men make up the vast majority of new syphilis cases. In L.A. County, syphilis rates among African-American women are 6 times higher than white women and 3 times higher than Latina women. Center for Health Equity Director Heather Northover said that officials need to evaluate what's called structural or systemic racism, the way housing or education policies may negatively affect people and their health. Studies have found, for example, that people with HIV had low levels of literacy. People with HIV who had low levels of literacy were less likely to follow their treatment, and that poor Americans who were more likely to engage in risky sexual behavior, increasing their risk of STDs.
Right.
So all of this, to go back to the Club of Rome, this is a problematique. There are so many influences and so many pieces that come into it, and when you look at one problem as isolated from other problems, all you're doing is assuring that none of them ever get solved.
Yeah.
This is completely stupid. So anyway, at this point, Alex Jones makes a big proclamation about how he's going to behave.
Okay.
I told myself I'm going to be calm, at least for this foreseeable future.
It's a book of calm.
I let myself look at all this news and get wound up. But I thought, why not just have some of the nice, calm Alex?
So from here on out, I'm going to be calm. Hour,
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm most obnoxious. I was about a 3. Okay. So we're going to see if I can be a good boy today.
Let's see if you can be a good boy today.
I bet.
Certainly haven't so far. In this next clip.
I want to give him a chance. He gave Obama.
In this next clip, Alex is already back to talking about Israel.
Great, great.
I'm just not into the whole cause celeb thing for Palestine. I've been bullied and brainwashed my whole life about it, and I reject it. But I'm also not a cult follower of Israel either. I just don't want to blow him off the map like George Soros does.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of good people over there.
And they've got hundreds of nuclear weapons. So they're not going anywhere. Know about the Samson option?
Samson
option?
So a couple things really quick.
What's the Samson option?
That's Alex not knowing how to speak. That's a Samson option.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Alex, you know what that is? That's a plan that Israel has.
Yeah.
That's not a plan that the globalists have.
No, it's Israel?
Yes. That's a plan that...
It's the plan that the globalists running Israel have.
Oh, yeah, that must be it. That is a plan about destroying everybody.
Also, by the way, Iran, if you're listening, Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons, so they're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe those two things have a lot in common.
So, don't listen to that. The thing is that, like, the Samson option, legitimately, for years, was that Israel played real coy about whether or not they had nukes, because it was like Schrodinger's nuke.
Right.
You know, that idea of, like, maybe we do, maybe we don't. And the Samson option is taking everything down and being like, yep, we're gonna fucking attack you, and it's just...
Right.
Complete destruction. That's a plan of theirs, it's not a plan of Soros's, the way that Alex is sort of implying it.
Can, like, Soros even have that plan?
No. Also, Soros does not want to destroy Israel. He doesn't want to blow it off the map. All of the stuff that Alex is referring to is, like, there's some WikiLeaks that were hacked emails that discuss Soros's views on Israel, and it's just that the regime that's in power is a racist, awful regime, they should not be in power.
Yeah.
It's not destroying Israel.
Don't forget corrupt.
Right. It's not destroying...
Don't forget blatantly corrupt.
He's not anti-Israel. He's anti... this government.
Right. As I'm not anti the United States. I'm anti Nazis running the United States. And I am not anti Israel. I'm anti literal Nazis running Israel.
Yeah. And everybody out there who's like, hey, why are you going to say America's Nazis? Look into ICE.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep dreaming, Soros. Keep dreaming, Devil Pope. You're not bringing Israel down, scum. See, that'll make you really align, because the very same dirtbags are trying to destroy me. They're trying to destroy Israel. And that really makes you pull back. You know, I have the exact same enemies. Why have I been bullied into not being more pro-Israel?
You haven't.
So afraid of being bullied.
You haven't, but
These guys are soft. Such snowflakes.
Yeah, little loser titty babies.
I've been bullied. Not even like I've been attacked or like, oh, they're coming after my funding. Like, they make me feel bad.
They pull my pigtails. The other thing there is like, hey,
Be best, Dan. Be best.
I can give you an explanation why your enemies are the same as Israel's enemies, and you're not going to like my answer.
Nazis?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because the people who are against you philosophically see similar things in the behavior of the Israeli regime and aren't thrilled with either.
No.
And so that's
almost as though we have a certain ideological through line.
Yeah. It's not...
One which is not dependent upon region or political party.
Or color.
Definitely not color.
Anyway, Alex gets off.
That's for purple.
Alex gets off Israel for a moment, because he wants to chime in on the Stormy Daniels situation.
Of course.
And I only kept this in because it's so gross.
You know, I don't normally get into the Stormy Daniels thing because
it's bad.
She never alleged abuse, and you know, you can tell that Melania is a pretty wild number herself. I mean, if she was a car, she'd have like 5,000 horsepower. If anything, the Stormy Daniels was a 10 steps down. I mean, my God, what a woman, Melania. To have a woman like that, that's all you need right there, right? But whatever, we didn't elect Trump to be a choir boy. We elect him to get stuff done. He's not a hypocrite. If he got up there and talked about family values all day long and swore he'd never cheated on his wife or never had a girlfriend, I'd be really angry. But guess what? He didn't ever do that.
I'd like to direct Alex's attention to every time he denied all of these affairs.
I was going to say, didn't he do that?
Yes.
I was going to say, literally every time he did that.
Yes.
He did exactly the stuff that you said he didn't do.
Furthermore,
he talks about family values in front of Christian fucking gatherings.
All the time.
Everything that you said he doesn't do, he literally does.
Right. This is just equivocating. But what I want to talk about is how fucking gross that is. Can you imagine if, like, I don't know, Sam Cedar, like, on Air America, Yeah. Like when Obama was in office, if he was just like, fuck, Michelle Obama looks like she can fuck.
Like, yeah, that's bad.
It's so gross. It's so gross.
I can't say that I haven't had a few Michelle Obama.
Stop it. Stop it. I think it's so gross that Alex is like, oh, God, she looks like she's got 500 horsepower. There's so many layers to how disgusting that is.
No,
but
that's gross.
Anyway.
Here's why it's okay that Trump fucked a porn star. His wife is hotter.
In my mind.
Problem solved.
In my mind.
There we go. Now I have reconciled my cognitive dissonance.
Which apparently Trump does not agree with, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he has to keep fucking all these other people. Anyway, we are now back to,
2009?
What?
God, I wish we were.
We are now back, no, not to 2009. We're back to, Israel.
Oh, great.
And here's my deal. The media never covers when the Arabs are killing each other by the millions, but then when a bunch of rioters are trying to break into Israel and some get killed, and I'm sad that happened, it's like, oh my God.
35 trying to break into Israel.
Right. He's
trying to break into Israel, Dan.
Yep. He's also just making fun of their deaths, which is real gross.
Yep.
So I'm just going to read to you from this article from the New Yorker today. A nervous frisson ran through the crowd as it pushed towards the fence between Gaza and Israel on Sunday evening, halting 75 feet from the wire. I had traveled to Gaza from Cairo ahead of what were expected to be enormous demonstrations at the border fence this week. I wanted to first see the sight of the protests on what I thought would be an uneventful evening. It did not turn out that way. As clusters of Gazans milled about, Israeli snipers watched from the other side, barely visible in their fortified perches. I watched as a group of young Palestinian women stepped forward in dark cloaks and colorful sneakers, gesticulating wildly. Quote, "This is our land, not yours," yelled one. Then, suddenly, two bullets slammed into the ground in front of them, picking up puffs of dust. The crowd jolted and the women retreated, about 15 feet. But minutes later, they were moving forward again, taunting the soldiers. Another shot rang out, and this time one of the women fell to the ground, clutching her stomach. An ambulance raced along the bumpy ground, and emergency workers scooped the woman up and raced off, trailed by crying women. My colleague and I gave three of them a lift to the hospital. They did not seem to be sure who the woman was, only that she'd been standing alongside them. I finally learned the woman's name, Aswafiri. When I found her mother in the hospital corridor, her cheeks smeared with tears, clutching her daughter's silver sneakers in a plastic bag. Ms. Aswafiri, 26, was born with a mental disability, said her brother, Mohammed. She learned embroidery at a school for people with disabilities. Her work led her to the protest. She wanted to show off the embroidered bags and cell phone covers she had made. Her brother did not know how she ended up in the front of the crowd. In any event, she was not behaving in a violent or menacing way, he said. Quote, "She was not holding a stone," he said. "So what's the excuse for shooting her?" So that's one of the victims. She thankfully didn't die. They thought she was dead, but she has just ended up in critical condition. And I don't know, maybe she's dead by now, but she wasn't at press time. So
really wish I didn't have to bring up the Nuremberg trials about Israeli soldiers.
Well, don't bring up the Nuremberg trials. There's a whole lot of issues of jurisdiction that come up when you talk about Nuremberg trials.
That's my biggest issue
and
right
ex post
now.
Facto
jurisdiction.
Laws and what have you.
Jurisdiction is my issue.
So, when Alex comes on air and mocks the people who died, were murdered, and then beyond that...
Yeah, were murdered.
...paints the picture that these people who were shot were all aggressors or trying to climb the wall and storm the barricade.
They were trying to break into Israel.
They were trying to have an empanada. No, enfatada. Whatever. I'm doing an Alex impression.
There you go.
Entifada. That's the sort of language that he uses. And the reality is a lot of them were not. A lot of people who were shot were humans.
I'm going to go with all of them.
So anyway, now we get to Milo Yiannopoulos being on the show.
God damn it.
Yeah. As if it couldn't get worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for raising the fucking bar, Dan.
So anyway, Milo comes on, and he's a big old dick. He starts off his appearance here. He's got a theory about SJWs. weaves into him talking about how he got kicked out of that New York bar. You remember those videos
came out?
Yeah.
Great. So the left are psychic vampires. Let me ask you this. Why do they ruin everything they run? Why is everything about bullying when they're the biggest bullies?
Bullying.
Why are they such horrible people? I mean, it just never ends.
Well, look, I mean, my view on this is that in many cases, these social justice warriors
I understand where you're coming from, but
I want him to die.
I promise there's a reason I'm playing him. I promise.
I want them both dead.
Trust my technique, please.
Okay.
Arbiters of other people's behavior because they're unhappy with their own. They become arbiters of other people's psychology because they have something defective about their own. These people want to make everybody else miserable because they themselves are suffering. And you can see that when I went into that bar in New York, I went for a brunch.
Also, when you talk about people suffering,
have you ever considered maybe they don't want other people to suffer because they're suffering?
That's the point I was trying to get at.
Have you ever considered that?
Nope, he hasn't.
I went for Chadwick Moore, who's on Tucker Carlson all the time, another gay guy. Got fired, by the way, from the gay magazine he worked for writing a profile of me, which was insufficiently venomous.
That's why.
You haven't been mean enough about Marlinopolis, so you're fired. Works with me now. We just went in there for brunch. Can you believe this? How far the left has moved from its previous mission of looking after minorities. Now they're getting between gay men and brunch. We just went in there, wanted to have lunch, and 30 of these like harpies, these screaming mental. One of them was like a meat mountain. I think she was a woman. You know, it was just this
fuck you
this huge thing just charging at me. It was like being run at by a hill or something. You know, just like I sort of could see my life flash before my eyes as this pink and purple pierced monstrosity.
Are you sure it wasn't Grimace from McDonald's?
It was like a full solar eclipse for a second, you know, just a looming over. I was like, oh, that's it. I was like,
and I noticed you're like trying to pay the tab. They won't let you.
I'm just like, it's over.
Nazi scum.
I've had a good innings. I've had a good life. I've had a nice time. I've got a good car.
So the reason.
Why is it everybody on the left is bullies?
Neighbors.
And also, this lady was fat. So that invalidates everything.
Right.
Great.
But
you fucking ass. God. At least use multiple sentences to be a fucking asshole.
Stop reacting.
Sorry.
This is the reason that I'm putting this on the show is because we need to really look at this. They're trolling. They think they are. What they're doing is just being horrible and like dishy and thinking they're funny. They're not being funny. They're just being dicks. But they're doing it specifically because they're desperate for attention.
Yeah, that's true.
They know, Alex knows on some level, that I have Milo on the show and we say a bunch of fucking horrible stuff.
Right.
And then, oh my God, remember the last time Milo was on? I got so much free press out of that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what they're doing.
That's true.
They're playing that game, absolutely.
And the more everybody else gets mad, the more the people that support them are like, well, obviously if it makes them mad, then...
This game is so easy to see through.
This is
what makes 2018 so lame. I watch this and I'm like, I get it. I see what you're doing, guys. And you even point it out. They even pointed out along the way.
He wants this to go viral and
exactly.
all of that shit.
He keeps saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just so lame. But I do want to listen to a little bit of it just to drive home the point that like they're doing this stuff on purpose. Here's them talking about lesbians. Oh, also, before this, they've been talking about how the bar that that he got kicked out of or got yelled out of is called the Churchill. And he had accidentally, heavy air quotes, accidentally stumbled into a meeting of the New York Socialists. I bet that's not an accident.
Sure.
I bet that wasn't an accident.
Great. Thanks, Milo.
But it was at a bar called the Churchill.
Have you died yet?
And Alex thinks that's very funny.
Is Milo dead yet?
Oh, it's even better. It's called Churchill.
It's called Churchill.
I didn't even know that.
These colonial-hating socialist like lunatics in a bar called Churchill's drinking Well, of course they were drinking craft ale because they're all lesbians. But I love that, by the way, the lesbians thing came out. We have to talk about the lesbians.
Oh, yeah. Can you guys get the Media Matters bowl down? By the way, I love lesbians. I love women. I'm just asking why they all have horrible mullets.
Especially in movies where they belong. Porn.
Let me ask you this. Why did mullets go out in the early 80s, but lesbians still have them?
I mean, this is just like 80s hack stand-up. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, this is bad.
Yeah.
That's really
Would you
bad.
Like me to host the rest of the hours of British Servant of the Crown?
I'll do Valley Girl if you do Servant of the Crown.
When we return, I shall do it in a Shakespearean rendition of Churchill.
That sounds really good.
And when we return, and you'll do it in the, oh my, oh, cue up that Valley Girl thing that they think we're all afraid of.
So at this point, when they come back from commercial, Alex plays that video of the girl in a Sailor Moon costume.
Yeah.
That he claims he didn't delete from the internet, but did.
Yeah.
And she posted on her Twitter, because a lot of people have seen that video. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go look it up on, it's on YouTube now. There's an InfoWars reporter who I don't even know who she is, which means she is really low on the totem pole.
Okay.
She comes up to this girl who's, drinking, iced coffee and on her phone.
She's not just a different Millie Weaver character?
No, it's not Millie Weaver. It's
like a
Millie would have done better.
Like a Eddie Murphy, in Coming to America whiteface kind of thing.
It's
like
absolutely
a
not.
Full transformation where you're like, I'm not even sure that's him.
It's not.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not going to go over the entire video, although they fucking do. They end up playing the entire thing. It's basically this reporter just trying to ask gotcha questions, and the girl just being, like, really disinterested and being like, I like Bernie Sanders because I like to eat the rich. She's fucking with them. It's pretty hilarious if you're a...
Sailor Jupiter and Sailor Saturn were in a lesbian relationship, and that was edited out of the United States version because they are not...
Do I know
too much about this?
Maybe.
Okay.
So, also, another funny point is she's like, you guys have worms in your brain. It's awesome.
So she's just being right at them.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Okay.
And it's great. I think it's a very, very funny video. And Alex, they play it, and they're just like, she is so stupid.
Mm.
She can't even talk and all this stuff. I'm like, all right, who cares? It's not worth it. I was going to play the entire thing just to see their, like, just to watch their breakdown of it.
Uh-huh.
But you know exactly what they said.
Yeah.
It's just, So anyway, at this point, Alex and, Milo start, shitting on Maxine Waters. It's for a reason.
All right.
There's a reason.
What?
Well, I can't tell you until the end of this clip.
Okay.
But there's a reason, and, it's disgraceful, and it's, exactly the same thing that got Bill O'Reilly in a lot of hot water.
Great.
Governor Brown thought he saw flying saucers 30 years ago. What is up with the left? Because they really are.
It was Maxine.
It's like a party of crazy people. Let me ask.
He did see flying saucers. It was Maxine Waters arriving on this planet. Here she come from her native galaxy.
James Brown is a planet. Everybody looks like James Brown. James Brown. Remember they called... Was it Donald Trump Jr. or something they called racist for saying, or was it, no, it was Bill O'Reilly saying she looks like James Brown. She does, man. We can make fun of her if we want.
Oh, dear.
I love the fact it's all over the newspapers and I'm calling her a mad dog.
You just showed too many cards there, Alex. You just showed too many cards. I love that everyone's talking about how much I'm making fun of her. Let's do more of it.
Get on up.
Oh, here we go. Absolutely. Can we come back in next segment from Rocky 3 or whatever, Living in America?
Yes, I think we can.
Just come in with like the finale.
Just to upset Maxine, because she seems to be very...
Well, you know, she lives a double life as a Hollywood star. James Brown. Who knew that James Brown was transsexual?
And a member of Congress.
Well, they say I'm Bill Gates.
Did they?
I mean, Bill Hicks. I am actually Bill Gates. But anyways, I identify as Bill Gates.
Oh,
that means I get his fortune.
Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You should remove.
I identify as a medical doctor. And South by Southwest is paying for it. Hey, seriously, great guest. We get him all the time.
Stop.
Love having him on. Omar Navarro, OmarNavarro.com, an amazing patriot. I won't go over his whole background, but he goes out with mariachi bands in front of her multi-million-dollar homes.
So that might not make sense the way he says it, but he has a guy named Omar Navarro on the show who's an amazing patriot. He's a guy who's running against Maxine Waters.
Gotcha.
And that's why they're making fun of him, because he's coming up on the show.
I don't understand why conservative comedians haven't caught on.
Yeah, they're real good.
They're so funny.
So funny.
They really know how to get to the crux of a bit, you know?
Fuck, man.
Like, the turns, the sleight of hand. They never do the obvious thing.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Omar Navarro, because Alex Jones said I'm not going to get into his background, so I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I should tell you one thing that they don't say at any point, and that is that Roger Stone is one of Navarro's main campaign advisors. And I think that that's probably a Federal Elections Committee violation. I think that's a crime.
Okay.
I think this is also a crime. Quote, Navarro, a Latino, said that he sees a path to winning by appealing to the district's growing Latino population. The candidate has made opposition to Waters a centerpiece of his campaign, relying on Republicans' dislike of her to raise thousands of dollars every time he appears on Alex Jones's digital InfoWars show and conservative media outlets. Quote, if people really want to take a jab at Maxine Waters and everything she's saying against President Trump, donate to my campaign, Navarro said on InfoWars shortly after he announced his candidacy in late May. Also, if you look at it, he made like $30,000 in donations the last time he tried to do this, because he runs against her a bit. This time he's made hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Great.
Interesting. You know why?
Great.
You know why? Because General Flynn has come out and endorsed him. There's a really fucked up quote. Quote, Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters has gone on the offensive, firing back at the GOP candidate looking to unseat her following his endorsement from former Trump advisor Michael Flynn. Flynn's endorsement of Omar Navarro at the 43rd District, as the 43rd District candidate's event Friday was the first time he spoke publicly since pleading guilty last year to lying to the FBI about conversations with a Russian diplomat. He broke his silence to be like, this guy, he's good. So
is anybody even trying?
So whatever
is
you
anybody even fucking
whatever you
anymore?
Think about Omar Navarro at this point,
is anybody even trying?
Whatever you think about him, you can't take away that he is a classy motherfucker.
Okay,
I'm gonna read you a quote. Quote: controversial former sheriff Joe Arpaio
Is Joe Arpaio dead yet?
Who was convicted?
I don't want to hear his name until it's in a fucking obituary.
He who must not be named, who was convicted of a crime related to alleged racial profiling of Latinos and pardoned by Trump, hosted a $125 ticket fundraiser for Omar Navarro at Trump National Golf Club in Rancho Palos Verdes last month. The event ended with a skit in which a Waters impersonator, who was wearing a wig, pretended to attack conservative musician Joy Villa. Navarro intervened and pulled off the Waters wig as a dozen or so attendees applauded. You can find the video of it. It's disgraceful. Also, this it must have happened after the time that Joy Villa went to a Trump celebration party and was sexually assaulted by Corey Lewandowski. And she made a big deal out of that. I guess she's not off the Trump train, though. Probably got a nice payoff out of it. I'm not even done. I'm not even close to done with Omar Navarro.
What is fucking happening?
This is from an article in the Daily Breeze.
Burn it down.
This is from an article.
Wherever it is, burn it down.
This is from an article in the Daily Breeze about Omar Navarro. Quote, Omar Navarro, a fringe GOP activist in the South Bay making his second bid to unseat entrenched Representative Maxine Waters, is on probation until March for a criminal conviction stemming from his use of an electronic tracking device he attached to his estranged wife's car, Breeze has learned.
Of course.
Hold on.
Of course.
Navarro, a 28-year-old Torrance resident who welcomed former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio at a fundraiser Thursday night in Verdes Peninsula, pleaded guilty last fall to the misdemeanor charge in Orange County. He was sentenced in September 2016 to a day in jail and 18 months probation in order to take an anger management course, the Orange County District Attorney's Office confirmed. Navarro, who resigned from his volunteer post on the Torrance Traffic Commission earlier this year when faced with censure or removal for his political activities in various Los Angeles County cities. Now, this article was vague, so I wanted to look into it and figure out what were these various political activities that he was forced to step down from his volunteer post in the Torrance Traffic Commission. So I looked into it and
volunteer post in a traffic commission.
It turns out.
What is that even? Is that
from the LA Times? Quote, he resigned as a Torrance traffic commissioner in July after he was accused of pepper spraying a child.
How does a volunteer get pepper spray?
You pepper spray.
And that's in the various political activities?
Yeah, that's what that's called.
That's in the various political activities.
All right. So he was accused of pepper spraying a child while aiming for ralliers at a pro sanctuary cities event in some city I can't pronounce. Videos of the incident show Navarro in the back seat of a car while a driver and another passenger spray ralliers. So people expressing their right to congregate and their free speech, he pepper sprayed them out of a car. So that's why he had to resign from his volunteer post in the Torrance, blah, 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 traffic committee.
I don't think this guy's a good guy.
So he served.
I don't think I would trust him in Congress.
He served as a second vice president of the rogue Beach Cities Republican Club until July.
All right. That's a pretty well-named club, though.
No, rogue is just an adjective.
Oh, okay. If you named your party Rogue Beach City Republican,
it's just the Beach
Cities
Republican Club.
That's not bad.
The county's GOP leadership revoked the
charter.
I'm just
saying that many Bothans died getting this Republican. All right.
The county's GOP leadership revoked the charter of the club earlier this year for attacking members of its executive committee and violating its bylaws.
Attacking members?
I tried to look into that, and all the articles I could find were like, this is an internal matter, and they wouldn't talk about what they actually did.
I'm kind of really interested in the Rogue Beach City Republican Party now.
Sound like a biker club.
That sounds fun.
So back to...
That sounds fun, I'm not gonna lie.
Back to him being, convicted of putting a tracer on his wife's car.
Yeah, that's a strange wife's car. That's usually bad.
Navarro, when reached for comment...
We didn't elect him to be a choir boy, Dan.
And we haven't elected him.
God help us, we won't.
Navarro reached for comment Wednesday morning, was evasive at first about his criminal conviction. He initially said there are, quote, a lot of Omar Navarros, implying that...
Wait, what?
Hold on. Strong. Strong first volley.
Where are we going to go from there?
The best part about that is assuming that a journalist is going to be like, yeah, there are. Yeah, yeah. Good point.
First off, there are a lot of Omar Navarros.
So
you can't prove it was me.
He initially said there are a lot of Omar Navarros, implying that perhaps someone with the same name was convicted of the charge. Then he said the incident that led to the criminal charge occurred, quote, years ago, rather than last year when
it did. But to a totally different Omar Navarro.
No, he's now conceded that it happened deep in the past when it was actually last year.
Yeah, but there are a lot of Omar Navarros out there.
Finally.
And there are a lot of universes where Omar Navarro did this several years earlier.
Finally, he acknowledged the misdemeanor conviction, but at first blamed the Orange County District Attorney's Office and the media for, quote, fake news.
Got the wrong Omar Navarro.
Before finally admitting it was his own doing.
How long did this take?
That's a man going down the drain.
How long did
He's
this take?
He's just circling
was
the drain.
Was this one interview?
No, they kept coming back to him, I assume.
Like, I wish it was just one interview of them being like, come on.
Maybe.
And he's like, all right, okay. I think it was the DA's fault. Come on. All right, I did it.
So one of his...
I'm bad at lying.
So one of his initial quotes was, the district attorney refused to dismiss the case. It was filed under false pretenses. The Daily Breeze is biased news. Then a little bit later, he said this.
Quote, in the afternoon.
Quote, I got what I deserved. Everybody makes mistakes.
At least he can own up to it, Dan.
Well, when you're trapped in a corner.
At least he can own up to it.
This guy's a fucking liar.
That is bad.
An idiot who fucking pepper sprayed a child. This guy is a dick.
There are a lot of Omar Navarros, though.
He seems to be deeply entrenched with Sheriff who shan't be named, the one who shan't be named. And then also, it really is important that Roger Stone is one of his campaign managers, advisors.
That can't be okay.
I do think it's
there
illegal.
Have to be laws against Roger Stone. Aren't there laws against Roger Stone being involved in politics at all anymore?
No, probably.
Shouldn't we just write a no more Roger Stone's law?
It would be good. But I think that he's allowed to give advice and be an advisor, but I really think there's a strong conflict of interests when he's essentially part owner of InfoWars at this point.
Yeah.
And he uses that as a platform to fundraise for his candidate. I think that that would probably qualify as contribution in kind.
Now, thought. Perhaps we should... Okay, you and I... Send a petition. Who's our local representative?
Who cares?
Some random ass dude. So we send a bill to them, like think tanks do, how they write those bills in advance and they just say, hey, fucking sign this, you know, like American Heritage Foundation and all those fucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So we write a bill that just says no more Roger Stones. with a list of Roger Stone behaviors. And if you get three or more, no more you.
You're out.
You know, just a no, just a general no more Roger Stones bill.
I love that you're saying this because you're going to fall in love with Roger Stone all over
God
again.
God damn it!
Here in a second. So here's the first clip of the Roger Stone saga. And it's Alex Jones has gotten a call from him.
Okay, now that's enough of Maxine. Back when she was younger, great artist, very talented. I want to, before I go back to Omar Navarro, because Roger Stone never calls with huge breaking news. He's freaking out right now. We're going to commandeer 15 minutes of the time of Gerald Celente.
Totally freaking out.
So Roger Stone is freaking out. He's got big news for Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want to say this. This news isn't true. But
he just heard about our no Roger Stones bill.
No, he's not a precog.
Okay.
But dude, this okay. news is shit.
All right.
But the way Roger Stone starts out this clip is like, this guy gets it.
Well, Alex, I'm calling in from an undisclosed location in the back room of a cigar store somewhere in South Florida.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Alex Jones, I'm freaking out. I'm in a walk-in humidor somewhere in Florida. I'm drinking scotch in the afternoon and smoking a Cuban with a bunch of weirdos. Bunch of weird old rich dudes in South Florida.
All right. God damn it, Roger Stone, you're back in.
That's almost like a
you're
prank.
You're back in. That's you almost are a prank. Fucking with us.
Where I have stumbled across extraordinary news. Now, as you know, I have always praised Facebook for their sophistication in
that's
terms
a man
of
who's three-fifths drunk
their
right there.
Ability to target your desired readers.
You haven't.
And
you
I
haven't
use Facebook
them.
Very effectively in my campaigns to sell my various books. I got a call today from the campaign of Michael Williams, crusading pro-Trump state senator, who is broken
Michael
from the
K. Williams.
Pack and is running for governor of Georgia. And his campaign manager told me that when they do their paid promotions on Facebook and they want to reach supporters of InfoWars or Alex Jones, a box pops up and says, as of May 24th, those subscribers can no longer be accessed. I immediately checked on my own paid book promotions, and indeed, I can no longer reach supporters of or Alex Jones. I have the screen grabs on all of this.
That's it wild. So they literally don't want people's money.
So funny story.
Literally.
I also have a page, Knowledge Fight, on Facebook where you can promote posts.
Can you access Alex Jones's followers?
Yes. I did it earlier today.
Okay.
I went through the entire process.
Yeah, but you're no Roger Stone.
I did everything but give them actual money. I went through the entire checkout until the Are You Sure button post button, and at no point did anything come up that said, and I'm not saying that Roger Stone isn't getting that message, but I could.
God damn it, I hope he is.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think this is true, but I just love that Roger Stone is calling in from a humidor.
That's such a great way to open any.
Amazing.
I am calling from an undisclosed location in the back of a cigar store
somewhere in Florida.
South Florida.
So throughout Milo's appearance on the show, and I've saved you from a lot of it because it's all that same stuff. It's just them trolling.
Yeah.
They keep saying that they're going to do an action because they're trying to parody the language that's used by mortal enemies, Antifa.
Liberals.
So they're going to do an action, but they don't mention what it is. And then after the show, Alex went live on Periscope because him and Milo Yiannopoulos invaded Google.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess I'm fine with that.
Why?
I don't know. Fuck Google.
Well, it's an embarrassing pile of shit. Give me vamp for a second here.
I mean, look, Google is no longer like as bad as Facebook is. Google is even is at least as bad as complicit in all of this bullshit that we're pissed off at Facebook about. So fuck Google. Mm-hmm. I hope InfoWars shows up at Google's offices every fucking day.
Right.
I hope Alex Jones just opens up a fucking office across the street and just walks in and knocks on their, I'm sure, pristine glass doors and burns the building down. I don't give a fuck.
Well, so what?
Fuck Google.
So what they did though is, I mean, look, yeah, we're not super big fans of Google, but what they did is they just invaded a storefront.
Okay.
It's just like they went to the Apple store and they're like, oh, look at us. We're big boys.
Right.
They went to the Google Fiber office. Like, and it's
just a random Google Fiber office.
Yeah. There's one in Austin. And I mean, that's an,
we're down at our local Comcast.
Exactly.
And we're going to get them to give us a router.
Yeah.
Get it?
So I have,
get it?
I have some clips from, their very embarrassing trek down to Google.
Sure.
And enjoy.
So, we're live at Google headquarters in Austin. It's like an alien spaceship that's landed in AI tech.
It's not.
And they're involved in all this censorship, so we're just here to actually have a talk to them. We're humans. We think we have value. We'll see.
And maybe sign up for Google Fiber while we're here?
Yeah.
It's apparently pretty fast.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Milo has some showmanship. So, he invades Google as he does go to the Google Fiber storefront, and he invades a bored employee's time.
Ugh.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Alex. Hey, how you doing, man?
Do you hear him?
He said, hey, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
All right.
We gotta leave? You know, I read online that Google surveils me over the camera at my house. You read that patent, right, where they watch you over the camera at your house?
You know about that one?
But why is Google allowed to watch you can me hear at home, sign. But I'm not allowed to come here? I know I'm just a human, not a big AI super machine. We just wanted to visit a little node of the AI tentacle, because it's in all our lives.
I mean, I just wanted to sign up for Google Fiber, but the problem is, it's like, you know, I'm not giving you my money, we're going to enter into a relationship. You know, are you still going to, like, demonetize my YouTube channel? Are you still going to suppress my videos? Are you still going to make sure that the people...
That's really what this is more about. This is more an airing of grievances for Milo.
Dude.
People subscribe to me, suddenly find themselves unsubscribed for no reason. Even when they put the bell icon on,
I get paid $11
an
hour.
Videos, they still don't get notifications about it. Are you going to do that? Even if we're all on $5
$11 an hour.
All I'm saying is, no, Google has patents 15 years ago where they watch us at home.
You guys are drunk.
I just thought I would come and see the big AI guy.
Alex is fucking, like, far be it for me to judge. He is red-faced. He is, like, watching him out and about is just like, I don't know if it's because he's out in the sun or something like that, but he looks like...
Oh man, if you could call the cops on white people the same way you do on black people, they would be dead by now.
Yeah. So here's
they would have been murdered by cops.
Here's what's really fun. So that employee doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit at all.
Yeah.
He ends up walking away from them at a certain point because he's just like, I don't want to talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
He like walks to the back.
Yeah.
But before he does, this is true comedy.
Who's your friend? I don't keep up with
me. He's Milo.
I don't keep up.
You know who Milo is?
I don't.
He's a famous band person on the internet.
Yeah.
He's a non-human.
Yeah, I'm one of the
people. How's it going, brother?
People you've been demonetized. Yeah.
So I'm sorry that the audio shifted there. I had to amplify his audio.
I don't know who he is.
But it starts with, who's your friend?
I don't know who he is.
Who's your friend? Milo's just sitting there like,
leave me alone.
Shit.
Who's this asshole?
So Alex then.
I don't need this in my life.
Then Alex gets on a little bit of a soapbox and tries to do a sermon, about, his ideas about Google.
At a random Google Fiber store.
I appreciate you guys taking time out to talk to us. I am, sir. I'm Alex Jones. I'm a human.
All right.
And we're just here to visit the AI God. If you go 20 years ago when they founded Google, or about 20 years ago, they said it was a plan of the NSA to create a huge artificial intelligence program. I think they've actually done it. And so my friend Milo and I are here before humans are phased out. You know, Elon Musk talks about the decisions been made to get rid of us. We just thought we would actually come and look at this wall. Is that real? Is that real plants that can grow?
He gets distracted from his whole talk about his lies about Elon Musk's comments. Be like, are those plants? he's absolutely drunk. So here's he finds this wall of plants.
Uh-huh.
Like there's just like some ivy growing on
AI grown plants?
Possibly.
There we go.
So he ends up rolling on the wall of plants like a fucking idiot.
Oh my god. Google, I love you. Anyway,
I think we've established that no one's going to talk to us about YouTube.
Yeah. So Milo gave it away there. I think we've established no one's going to talk to us about YouTube.
Yeah.
Why would you talk to Google Fiber about YouTube?
Well, they control it.
Because you have an axe to grind. And
it's the AI.
Right. You can go harass.
They have to have it's like Mother. Like, they have to have the AI in the alien spaceship. Come on, man. You gotta have who's the dude?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
But what's happening is that they know that they can go harass some low-level employees at this storefront, and it's going to get them more publicity because they're obviously going to get thrown out, and they're going to be able to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
And turn it into it's a publicity stunt. This is all this is, but it's so poorly executed. There's absolutely nothing here. And listen to this.
Generally speaking, when you're trying to get kicked out of a place, saying are these plans?
Well, here's how he tries to make friends with people.
See, here's the deal. You guys are incredibly nice.
Shake my hand.
Hey, look, yeah, I shook your hand. I appreciate you, brother.
Of course, man.
And so,
shake my hand. Oh, yeah, I'll shake your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at him, making friends.
This is a bummer.
So
that whole thing is a bummer.
I promise, at the end of this, it's pretty funny.
Okay.
So at this point, Alex suggests what Google's really up to. They have some nefarious plans.
And so our big thing is we just thought little petty humans with our cameras.
By the way, keep in mind, he's talking to a low-level employee at a storefront.
Yeah. $11 an hour.
Someone who has to wear a Google Fiber shirt to
Ooh,
work.
Ooh, is collared?
No, it's like a T-shirt.
Okay, good.
Come into kind of like a landing zone for the big Google AI bot. Well, it's planning the nanotech city-ripping, energizing cores that I have envisioned will just rip cities apart in minutes and build the giant launch spacecraft to the next dimension.
Right.
We will just be fed into these tubes.
What is it? You know what the Stargate?
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
So we're at our local Comcast office.
Comcast is secretly trying to create city-destroying lasers or
and
something.
They're like, do you want a bundle? And we're like, let's get into aliens.
Have you seen Stargate? This is embarrassing. So here, this is where everything turns.
Oh, it turns.
Well, let me tell you, they're really smart, because last time they flipped on us, these guys are a lot cooler.
Yeah.
But here come the awesome police. Let's go ahead and go. Yes, sir. Let's go.
So he's like, these people are real cool. Oh shit, the cops are here. Let's leave. He sees the cops coming through the glass door.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's go.
Oh, somebody did call the cops on them.
Oh yeah.
Thank God.
Oh yeah. Real fast.
Did they get shot?
No.
Oh, God damn it. Racism doesn't even work in America.
But here's what's really funny. When the cops come, the manager shows up. The manager of the storefront for Google Fiber shows up, and she has no time for Alex's bullshit.
Okay.
Okay. You can call the police because you're not supposed to be in here, please.
But Google watches me at home. They told me so.
I'm happy for you, but you gotta go, sir.
That is a woman who's been working in customer service the correct amount of time.
And, middle management.
She's
no matter what you say, I'm going to say, I'm happy for you.
That's nice. Get the fuck out.
You gotta go. Don't care.
We're going to leave you a bad Yelp review. Yeah, fuck off.
Fuck yourself. So here is the last two clips that we have, and it's a shot and a chaser. It is Alex Jones in the shot. He talks to the cops.
How you officer doing today?
Hi, nice to see you.
God bless. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. All right, we're going to go. It's private property. But Google shouldn't be spying on us at home and breaking those security codes and getting our houses. And Congress shouldn't give them immunity like they did. But Trump's about to get rid of it. So we came to make our point. You guys have a great evening.
So after that, they leave, and on his way out, he says to the cops twice, thank you, guys. Thank you, officers.
Yeah.
Because he's patronizing panders to cops now, unlike he did in 2009.
Yeah.
That's the only interaction that he has with the cops. The female cop did say, how are you doing, Mr. Jones? And the reason
Couldn't
she said that.
They shot him 9 times in the back.
But the reason she said that is because everyone fucking knows who Alex Jones is.
Yeah.
She lives in Austin.
Yeah.
He gets kicked out of Google frequently.
Yeah.
He's done this stunt before.
He's done the same stunt before.
I don't know if it was at Google Fiber, but there was a Google open house that he got thrown out of a couple months ago.
Okay.
But that's the only interaction that he has with the cops. Now, here's the chaser. After they've left and are walking down the street, and Alex Jones looks like a goddamn lobster. He's so red in the face. This is what he says to Rob Dew.
The cops were all listeners. They were nice.
Knew exactly who you were.
I was like, hello, Alex.
Ha 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 ha. The cops were all listeners. He's just making that out up out of whole cloth. So every time.
No, a listener's response to you, Alex, is not going to be, hey,
Mr.
Alex.
Jones.
Hey, Mr. Jones.
You gotta go.
We're doing this again, huh?
Wow, what a shock.
Hey.
Mm.
Oh, are you harassing low-level employees? Never seen that before.
Yeah, so.
Mr. Jones, this isn't a Wendy's at 3 a.m., sir. Please leave.
This calls into question, I mean, not that there was a question at all, but this really should paint every time he says, some people said they're listeners.
Yeah.
Every time he's like, I go out in public and everyone loves me.
Yeah.
You went out there and you were like, hey, guy who works at Google Fiber, I'm harassing. Shake my hand.
Right.
I think that's probably how you treat people. And then someone indicates a slight awareness of who you are and like,
yeah.
Oh, they're listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're listeners. This is pathetic.
Yeah.
And all of it is this publicity stunt mentality. He's having Milo on to troll by saying that Maxine Waters is a dog. And all this bullshit, he's doing all this like lesbians are fucking stupid and have dumb haircuts. All of it just to rile people up so they'll give him free press because he's in a fucking bad place. And the more we recognize that he's in a bad place and leave him to it, the better. What we can do at this point, although it is fun to learn about Omar Navarro, certainly.
That was fun.
I
enjoyed that immensely.
That was the high point for me. But like, hey. He said grotesque.
I'm going to say, there are a lot of Omar Navarros. It's a great defense.
It's true.
I like it.
Strong.
I like it.
But, like, for us to...
Because I can't use that. There are only one other Jordan Bonneas in this planet.
Yeah.
Can't really do that one with me.
But, like, dude, for us to come on this show and say that Alex said disgusting things about the state of Israel murdering Palestinian protesters, I would say almost all of them unarmed. That doesn't help anything. Obviously, that's the case. Everyone knows that. That's not helping this. And then beyond that, all this other shit is just trolling. All this other shit is just, it's stupid. And like, okay, yeah.
Well, ultimately, all he's doing the entire time is blaming the victim.
Yes. Well, but that's his modus operandi.
And then pretending that he's the victim.
Yeah.
That's it.
You punch down and then pretend you got punched.
Yep.
So it's... I don't know. I have one more thing I wanted to read about the protests in Israel really quick. I know that...
A list of all the crimes all Omar Navarros across the country have committed.
No.
That perhaps this Omar Navarro also did.
I read another article in the New York Times, but I feel really bad about this, but I forgot the guy's name who wrote
this. The byline?
This. Yeah, and it's someone who helped organize the protests and... The big march is happening, I think, right now as we're recording this because it's on the 15th. All this is preamble to the big march, the big peaceful march.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I read this article that he wrote about what it meant to him and why he was organizing these protests. And I think it's really important this sort of thing be mentioned and discussed. A couple years ago, people here would have dismissed the idea that peaceful demonstrations could achieve anything significant. After all, every other form of resistance has produced nothing concrete. What amazes me is the transformation we're seeing in the way we resist. Our struggle previously was between armed Palestinian fighters and Israeli snipers, tanks, and F-16s. Now it's a struggle between the occupation and peaceful protesters, men, women, young, and old. Still, despite the response from Israeli snipers, I continue to be committed to nonviolence, as are all of the other people, quote, coordinating this march. I use quotation marks because when a movement becomes this large, attracting what we estimate to be as many as 200,000 people on Friday, we cannot be completely controlled. We can discourage the burning of Israeli flags and the attachment of Molotov cocktails to kites. We want peaceful, equal coexistence to be our message. We've also tried to discourage protesters from attempting to cross into Israel. However, we can't stop them. It's the action of an imprisoned people yearning for freedom. So... That's the voice of,
well put.
That's the voice of literally one of the main people coordinating these marches. And
well put.
So Alex, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
That's just a, that's a supplementary go fuck yourself.
Oh man.
You're a piece of shit. Go seriously read a damn book. Read anything.
Yeah.
Look in your heart. Look in your heart, you Grinch. You racial Grinch. Anyway, if you want to...
Well, if you read any libertarian thought, the Grinch was actually correct.
He was.
In acting within his capitalist desires.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you like the show and want more, you can check us out at knowledgefight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
Correct. We're on Facebook.
We are. You can go to iTunes. Just go there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to look for us. Just go.
iTunes.com.
iTunes will eventually lead you to us if you ask enough random questions. They'll eventually be like, Jesus, do you want to go to Knowledge Fight? Fuck, I don't know.
And then 6 years later, it'll create a city-destroying microorganism.
Yep.
Leave a review.
Are there any conservative businesses we could just go and harass?
I don't want to. I don't give a shit, right?
But yeah. That'd be fun. Why not? Look, this is they do publicity stunts. This is why we have no publicity. We don't stunt.
Yeah.
We got to stunt on people.
You know what? I'm committed to stunting like my daddy, to quote Lil Wayne and the Birdman.
Nope.
And you know what? My dad, Steve Friesen, doesn't stunt. So I am stunting like my daddy. Anyway.
Solid anyway. Thanks. That was a good anyway. I like the anyway there.
I want to enlist people to, if you haven't, please leave a review on Facebook. It really does make a big difference. Leave a review on iTunes. Those sorts of things. A rating and a review would go a long way, and it costs you nothing. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So,
it's your turn, buddy.
It is. And I know exactly who I, you know what? It's a complicated,
All right. I'm interested.
Part of me wants to say the state of Israel can go fuck itself, but that's too many people.
It is too many people.
And saying that Netanyahu can go fuck himself is,
trite. Cause he can, and everybody knows it.
And so I think that leaves me with one option. And that is the many Oscar
Omar Navarros.
The many of them
not
are good.
Most Omar Navarros, good.
All but one
Armin Omar Navarro, bad.
Go fuck himself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.